The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 6, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 13th, 2008, in Sydney, Australia.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 8, text number 6. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam chajat yante kalevaram tang dam evaiti konjaya sadatad bhava bhavita. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Purport. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharat, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so in his next life he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So don't think that you can live your life in material consciousness and then call out to Krishna at the end and become saved. Of course, if you do call out to Krishna, you will be saved. But the point is, whatever consciousness you cultivate throughout your life, that's what you will think of at the time of death. That's the point. As Prabhupada explains very clearly in his purport, he says, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So what are you thinking about right now? Of course, now you're in the class, so you're thinking about Krishna. But what about when you go out in the street? What do you think about them? Whatever you're most absorbed in, that you're training your mind to think in that particular way, you see. One example given is a calculator. You punch in this number plus, this number plus, and then at the end you punch the grand total button. Throughout your whole life, you're putting in this thought, that thought, this thought, that thought, this thought, that thought. Now at the final moment, it's time to hit the total button. What are you going to get? You see? Were you putting in Krishna throughout your whole life, or are you putting in something else? Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Whatever you're putting in throughout the life. On a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis, where were you putting your consciousness? If you weren't training to put it on Krishna, then you probably won't think of Krishna at the time of death. That's what Prabhupada is saying. So therefore, we have to train ourselves how to be Krishna conscious. From the moment we wake up in the morning until the moment we take rest in the evening. How to always be fixed in Krishna consciousness 24/7. Because that will guarantee. Now, Prabhupada does give a hint here. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental. Prabhupada's giving a guarantee. If you're engaged in doing service, you see, if you're transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then your next body will be spiritual, not material. So this is why doing devotional service is very valuable. Because if we can absorb ourselves in devotional service, and you can do that 24 hours a day. If you're serious about being absorbed in devotional service, you can do it 24 hours a day. You, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, whether you're a student, a businessman, an engineer, a computer whiz, whatever you may be, you can be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in devotional service, 24 hours a day. So that full absorption on a day-by-day basis, that will guarantee that we attain Krishna at the time of death. In other words, whatever taste you have now, you see, that's what you will get. What do you hanker for the most? Sense gratification or Krishna bhakti? If I'm more inclined towards sense gratification, that's what I will get. If I'm more inclined towards devotional service, I'm more interested to hear and chant about Krishna than I am in any type of material sense gratification, then that's what I will get. I will get a body in the spiritual world. Spiritual body. So there's a battle going on. On the one hand, we understand I to be Krishna conscious. On the other hand, our senses are pulling us to material sense gratification. So Prabhupada said, therefore, to become Krishna conscious is to declare a war on Maya. You have to tell Maya, that's it, I'm not going to serve you anymore. I've been serving you for millions of births, and where has it gotten me? Another rotten body, another rotting body. You see? That's all it's gotten me, another rotting bag of flesh and bones and blood. That's where it's gotten me. So this lifetime, I'm going to do something different. In this lifetime, I'm going to absorb myself in Krishna consciousness and achieve the supreme destination of going back to home, back to Godhead. So we simply have to make this determination that I'm not going to take birth again. I want out of this material dungeon. I want to live in a wonderful place where Krishna is always having his transcendental pastime. And there's no anxiety about petroleum prices or terrorism or anything. Old age, sickness, taxes, job, getting to work on time, pleasing the boss. All those anxieties are completely gone. Spiritual world. It's simply a wonderful atmosphere of singing, dancing and feasting 24 hours a day. That's all. It's a big party going on continuously with Krishna. Krishna is the life of the party. And everybody's simply enjoying in the association of Krishna. That's all they do. They have nothing else to do except to please Krishna and take pleasure in pleasing Krishna. You see, this is the devotee's pleasure. He doesn't want to have any separate pleasure. Devotee's son, such thing. No, that's dirty. He doesn't want them. He only wants to enjoy that which is pleasing to Krishna. And because he's thinking like that, therefore he can enjoy unlimitedly. As long as there's any tinge of selfishness in my desire to enjoy, then my enjoyment is very limited, and it won't be constant either. It'll be enjoyment and suffering, enjoyment and suffering, enjoyment and suffering. But my desire to enjoy becomes completely Krishnaized, that I only want to enjoy that which is enjoyable by Krishna. I will only eat prasadam from now on, you see. I won't enjoy anything unless Krishna has enjoyed it first. I won't go anywhere unless it's for a Krishna conscious purpose. I won't talk about anything, I won't read anything, I won't listen to anything unless it's for a Krishna conscious purpose. You see? When one makes this kind of determination, then Krishna becomes personally manifest in their life very strongly and very powerfully. We simply have to desire Krishna and nothing but Krishna. That's it. Ye yata bang prapadyante tang statayo bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So as I mentioned many times before, how much do you want Krishna? How much Krishna do you want? A little bit? Or do you want full Krishna? You see? Your choice. However much you want Krishna, to that degree you should surrender. If you want complete, total Krishna, then you surrender completely. You see? Simple logic. How much nectar do you want? Just a little bit, or you want unlimited nectar? Well, if you want unlimited nectar, you can have it. You can easily have unlimited nectar at every minute flowing through your consciousness. All you have to do is completely surrender to Krishna. So how do you do that? It's not difficult. You say, my dear Lord, please bless me that I can fully surrender to you. And what's the best prayer? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. In this way, if we will follow the injunctions given in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then we will become completely immersed in Krishna consciousness. All our anxieties will be gone. We can make the world into a paradise. All we have to do is follow the instructions. Of course, birth, death, old age, and disease will still happen here. But I mean to say the whole world can be Krishna conscious if we can just seriously take up this process in a very determined way, very enthusiastic and very patient way, then more and more people will be amazed. What is this process of Krishna consciousness? You see, they'll be like to experience it themselves. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
I was just reading Gita a few days back, and like that there was a second time I was reading that.
We have to.
In the Bhagavad Gita, it was mentioned that a thought to merge into Krishna is kind of self annihilation.
Yes, I actually had a whole long talk before I came down here with a Mayavadi philosopher, whose idea was to merge into Krishna. That means you want to be Krishna. You want his position. That's the very disease that brought you here in the first place. So how will monistic philosophy liberate you from this material world? You think it will? It won't. That's why Bhagavatam says, Vimukti maninas. It's only in the mind that they're liberated. They're not really liberated because they're taking the very disease that brought them here to begin with and embracing it as the greatest state of good health. That I am God. You're a God. We're all God. It's all Brahman. So we cannot think that way. We want to merge. That is, even the very conception of merging is disgusting for the pure devotees. Even the idea of it just totally disgusts them. They are abhorred by such a concept of merging into Krishna. Because they want to maintain separate identities so they can serve Krishna. If you have become the object of your service, then how you can serve? If you become the object of your love, then who are you going to love? Love means two, Krishna and you. Any other questions? Yeah.
Maharaj, we spend like 8 to 10 hours in job, and how do we remember Krishna during the time?
Yes, you have to have very good sadhana before you go to work. Ideally, you'll have all 16 rounds done in a very nice way before you get to the office. And you get to the office, do you have a desk? I recommend you put a Bhagavad Gita on your desk. Just lay it out there all day long. Just by seeing the Bhagavad Gita, you'll be Krishna conscious. And some of your co-workers may be interested. What is that book? And you can let them have that book and ask them for a contribution to cover the printing cost. And just keep selling books then that way in your office while you're doing your job. By having the Bhagavad Gita there, you'll be Krishna conscious and other people will be amazed. What is this book he reads every day on his break time, you see? So utilize it for preaching. Just like in my job, I wore the tilak. And the boss was very pleased by the way I performed that day when I had my tilak on. He told me to always wear tilak to work. After them. So, somehow use your job for Krishna. Bring cookie prasadam and put it in the break room every day or once a week, you know. So when are you going to bring some more of those cookies? They're always thinking of those cookies, you see. That way they're becoming Krishna conscious. Meditating on prasadam. When am I going to get some more of those cookies? You know, they don't know it's Krishna prasadam, but still, knowingly or unknowingly, just like meditating on those cookies that you bring to the office, they're making spiritual progress. So in this way, you try to introduce Krishna consciousness. It's your office. By the book, by the prasadam. And then you'll find it's not difficult. As soon as you get in the mood of preaching, it's easy to be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. Because the whole world is dying for lack of Krishna consciousness. If we take it as our life's mission to make the world Krishna conscious, then we will be, because the world is in such a pitiful state right now, we'll be forced to always be Krishna conscious, just to do in order to do what we want to do to help people. They say the best way to learn a subject is to teach it. You've heard that saying? The best way to learn a subject is to teach it. Because then you really have to know what you're talking about if you're going to teach it. So the more we try to spread Krishna consciousness, then the more we have it. You want to be Krishna conscious in the job, so you should always be thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness. And then automatically yours will be there. Any other questions? Yes?
Actually, I just wanted to make a comment. You were talking about wearing tilak to work, that you used to wear it, but one time you wore it to work, tilak. Wearing tilak to work.
Huh?
You wore tilak at work, in the tilak to the office.
And what about the tilak at work?
Well, just to say that actually there's one example of a person, he's an Indian person, he's a son of a devotee, and he decided to wear tilak to his work, and everyone was asking him what it was, and now he's on Monday bringing a whole group, 20 people to the temple this Monday coming to do a program, what is Krishna consciousness like? They're a volunteer group and they all want to know what it was, they're coming just because he wore the tilak.
Really? Yes, this tilak is a very revolutionary thing. It's very revolutionary. You know the story, I guess I told you all the story not everyone has heard the story, so I'll tell it again, but there was one pious Hindu man who always wore tilak to work every day. He worked at a factory, and there was no problem. I mean, the owner was a Vaishnava, it was cool, you know. But then the owner sold the factory to a Muslim. And the Muslim noticed some of the workers were wearing tilak, so he called in all the workers and he said, from tomorrow, I am now the owner of this factory, and now, starting tomorrow, no one of you can wear tilak. I won't allow this tilak at this company. You want a job? Don't come here with tilak tomorrow. Otherwise, you're out of a job. Very heavy, you know? So for fear of their losing their job, nobody wore tilak except for that one very pious man. He said, my grandfather wore tilak, my father, my great-grandfather. We've always worn tilak because we are devotees of Krishna. If I have to depend on Krishna, I'm not going to let this Muslim bully me around like this. I'm going to wear my tilak to work. I don't care what happens. Krishna will protect me, you see. So he went to work with his tilak. Immediately the owner called in, what is this? I said, no tilak, and you're wearing tilak. He said, what can I do? This is, you know, I'm a devotee of Krishna, and I have to wear the tilak. This is my very life and soul. He said, all right, you can wear it, but nobody else. So, we shouldn't be afraid to be Krishna conscious. You know, what would people think? Oh, you're weird. You see, people are afraid. I don't want people to think I'm weird. But actually, we should be convinced that anybody who's not Krishna conscious is weird. We should have that conviction. You see, you mean you're not Krishna conscious? You're really weird. You must be from Mars or something like that. You know? We should be completely convinced, you know, that this is the. You want to be cool? You got to be Hare Krishna, you see. Actually, there is no greater connoisseur of doing the cool things than God Himself, you see. He's the supreme enjoyer. So God Himself, He realized there's nothing more cool than being a Hare Krishna. So He became Lord, He joined the Bhakta program, Bhakta Avatar, you see. Lord Krishna became Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He joined the Hare Krishnas. God Himself became a Hare Krishna. So if God Himself, who is the supreme enjoyer, He becomes a Hare Krishna, you can understand there's nothing more cool than being Hare Krishna. You see? So these people are just walking around Sydney. They're just not cool. That's all. They're not really cool. We have to show them how to be cool, you know. Put on tilak, chant japa, put on neck beads. That's a shame, but it really means to be cool, you know. And actually, their minds are not cool. Their minds are always agitated. But a devotee's mind is always cool. Nitai pada kamala koti chandra shushi tala. You see, the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda have the cooling effect of millions of moons. So anyone who has become Krishna conscious, they have a very cool brain, you see. By the mercy of Lord Nityananda, they become very, very cool brain, you see. So in this way, make revolution here in Sydney. When I come back, I want to see that everyone's Krishna conscious. Now, leaving tomorrow morning, it's 5:30 a.m. We're heading out for New Zealand, and then we're going to Fiji, and then Peru, and then the U.S., and then Germany, and then Bulgaria, Romania, Macedonia, Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, Finland, Russia, and India. And then we're going to come back to Australia again in December. So we, Mataji and I, try to stay busy. They say that it's hard to hit a moving target, you see. So that's why we like to keep preaching. Because Maya, in warfare, you see, if someone is stationary, it's easy to shoot them. The enemy soldier is standing still, but if he's running, it's harder. You try to hit him. So Maya, she's trying to nab everyone. But if you stay busy in Krishna's service, you see, you always stay active in serving Krishna. Maya has a hard time getting you because you're always moving in Krishna's service. So Mataji and I always, we try to keep moving as much as possible around the planet. So there were difficult targets for Maya, you see. So any other questions? Everyone satisfied now? Ready to fully give their life to Prabhupada's mission? No more nonsense. Steady, no more fickle mind dancing like a monkey. There's enough monkeys in Vrindavan already, you know, swinging from branch to branch. Don't be a monkey. Become fixed in Krishna consciousness. Dedicate, become solid, become steady, you see. That steadiness is a very important thing. Nishta, you see. So become steady. That's why Guru is important. Because once you take Guru, then he helps you get free from all the anartas, and then you become very steady. That's why to fix up that, yes, now I will take Diksha. It's a very important thing. Because without Diksha, there can be no steadiness, actually. You can't be fully steady until you take Diksha. Because Bhajana Kriya is a preliminary stage before Nishta. There is sadhu sangha, there's shraddha or faith, and sadhu sangha associating with devotees. And there's bhajana kriya getting initiated, and then there's anartha nirvritti giving up all the bad habits, and then there's nishta becoming solidly fixed. So we require that diksha become solidly fixed. And then by becoming solidly fixed, we can get ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prem. All perfections come. So anyway, there's no questions. We can stop here. Our question, okay.
We have so many of our congregation working in the workforce, so they don't have much time for preaching. But
yes.
So many of our congregation working in the workforce, they don't have much time for preaching. As you say, maybe they can do a little bit of work, have a Bhagavad Gita there, shoot a few books here and there. But I'm just wondering, do you think it's possible, like, especially when you have a lot of young youth, they're all single, they're not married, they haven't got many obligations, we could maybe, instead of them just working in some ordinary job with non-devotees, we could somehow get them into, like, meeting all the congregation out there and selling sets of books, and that way they could make money for themselves and make money for the temple as well.
Well, there's a very successful program that Vaisheshika Prabhu is doing in San Jose, California. It's called the Weekend Warriors. He engages the entire congregation, everyone. He gets book tables all over the city, signed up with, you know, different vendors agree you can do a book table in front of my store. He gets book tables all over the city, and on the weekends, everyone signs up for a slot on the book table. Every family does that, and uh, they They have a tremendous, they do a huge amount of books. And everyone's in complete bliss. It's a weekend warriors program. They have a website that tells all about it. Book, I think it's bookdistribution.com or distributebooks.com tells about it, the whole concept and how it works. So any temple can just go on that website and see how it's done and start doing it in their temple. So this is a very good program that can be done here in Sydney. Weekend warriors. Yeah. What is this? Oh yeah, no, it's huge. It's amazing in Melbourne. We went to a program last night, an hour away from the temple. One initiated devotee lives out there. You know, he has a regular job. He's got a house. He's got kids. A regular thing in suburbia. But he had 50 or 60 people. These people are chanting Japa 16 rounds a day. He's got a whole preaching center going in his house. It's amazing. There's a whole room full of people who are all getting fixed up in Prabhupada's teachings, chanting japa, offering their food, everything. So this this can be done also. They have regular programs in the home. Yeah, it was so packed you couldn't even. I had to tell the devotees who were sitting up front to come like within 3 inches of me. You know, sit this close. I had to move everyone this close to me, like right here, where they're this far from me, just so people could get in the door. I said, come closer. And we were packed in, you know, just practically sitting in each other's laps. It was so tight. And just so people who were coming late could have some room to get into the door. I mean, it was amazing. And they have a program once a week then.
I don't think it's like about 50 to 60 people.
Huh?
In a small place, there were about 62 plus 70 people over there. I was counting them.
I can't hear over the kids. What is it?
I was counting the number of people. There were over 60.
Over 50 people?
60
over 60 people. And it was a little tiny room about... Well, maybe 1/8 of this space. Yeah. Very small little apartment. And there were 60 people in there. Yeah, it was amazing. Very amazing. Yeah, it's a bit.
So I was just thinking that it's, nothing is stopping them from householders if they want to preach. There's nothing stopping them.
Yeah. It's a fact. Anything? Yes? Why the what?
Ekadashi is so dear to Lord Krishna.
Ekadashi. Kadasi, yeah. It is described that Kadasi is very, very auspicious. Astrologically speaking, it is most auspicious day. So, therefore, it is very dear to Krishna. The sin personified, he is known as Papa Purush. On this day of Ekadasi, he has nowhere to go. It's very difficult for him. So just as the personality of Kali was given places of residence by Parikshit Maharaj, Papa Purush was given a place of residence on Ekadasi in grains, that he was allowed to reside in grains, because on this day it was so auspicious, he had nowhere to go. So he said, okay, on this day you can reside in the grains. So Ekadasi is not an inauspicious day, it is the most auspicious day according to the astrological situation. It's a very, very auspicious day for spiritual advancement. Therefore it is very dear to Krishna. Questions more? All right then. Yes?
Sort of a question, but it's sort of a comment as well. I noticed that
I'll bring the whole milk for Krishna.
Yeah. I don't know if you have anything to say about Krishna and his dieting,
Yes? What is she saying?
She's thanking you for your e-course.
Oh, thank you very much. You get it. How long have you been getting it?
Oh, someone just registered me, so I'm getting it for past 2 weeks only. She's getting it for past 2 weeks.
2 weeks only.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm really happy you're getting it. Anybody who wants to get on it, you just go to www.backtohome.com, BACKTOHOME.com. Future kirtan leader. Anything else? All right then. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.